It says, Kivucha Arutz Gedud, in you Hashem Arutz, I have the confidence. Both the Mitzudos and Rashi said the same idea. In you Hashem, I have the confidence to Arutz, to proceed swiftly. Gedud, read the word as if it said, Le Gedud. I have the confidence to enter into the enemy camp. I have the confidence to go on the offensive, to attack. Uvelokai, and through the help of Hashem, according to both Rashi and the Mitzudos, the idea here is Uvelokai, when I have faith in Hashem, Hashem grants me siyata d'shmaya, adaleg, sure I can leap over a wall, I can overcome any difficulty. Pasuk Lamedal for kel tamim darko, Hashem, with regard to Hashem, tamim darko, wholesome is His way. Imras Hashem Tzrufa, the words of Hashem are pure. Mogin Hu Hashem is a shield l'chol ha'chaytzimu, for all those that seek refuge in Hashem. Ki mi Elokai mi baladei Hashem, who is there, what other God is there in this world other than Hashem? Umi Tzur, is there any such Tzur, any rak, zulasi, other than Elokein? Now let's analyze, before we see, I want to just spend some time on the Ma'amor. If we look at the Ma'amor, so just analyze some of the words over here in this pasuk. Over here we have the word Elokah and the word Hashem. Ordinarily, when we refer to Hashem, we use two different, there are two basic names of Hashem. There's Elokim, Biyoim, on the day, Biroi, Hashem, Elokim, Eretz, Vishamoy. Whenever we use the name Hashem, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, that is a metaphor for the midah of rachem. Hashem conducts this world with the attribute of mercy. Hashem is kind, He's gracious, He is forgiving. He grants man more than what he deserves. And then there is the attribute of strict judgment, Elokim. Elokim is harshness. Hashem is demanding, Hashem is not forgiving. Everything a person does, he is accountable, there's responsibility, there is Musar, and the person does not get away with anything. So there are two different approaches to life. There is the Midas Hadin, Midas Rachamim. You want to go look, if you go back, let's say 300-400 years, you know, there were two major movements in this world. There was the Musar movement, Rabbi Shlomo Salanter, and there was the movement of Hasidim. Okay, the movement of the Baal Shem Tov, the Hasidim. What was the main difference between the Hasidim and Rabbi Shlomo Salanter? Rabbi Shlomo Salanter is Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin Elokim. There's no nonsense. A person has to acknowledge that the day will come when he will leave this world, and he will be go have a din with Cheshvan and Shemayim. Anyone that says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Mevater, Hashem just looks the other way. He forgives. He's forgiving. He's not.
Someone once said, God is not Santa Claus.
Hashem is not Santa Claus. Okay. Hashem will be mevater on his life. There are numerous words of Chazal that tell us that the Baruch Hu is extremely demanding, and a person should not live his life thinking you can do whatever you want, get away with it. And then comes Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, you just clap, you bang your fist on your chest, and all is forgiven. It's not the way it works.
So what does merciful mean?
So merciful means there's another approach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Hashem has rachmanis upon you. Hashem will forgive you no matter what you do. Call Yisrael, af al pi shechoto Yisrael. And the truth is, Elu vo'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And the bat in life is about striking, a person's relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is about striking that balance. The balance between the midah of Elohim and the midah of Rachim. Chazal say that when Hashem created the world, it was His intent that the world should operate strictly with midah sadin. The primary method of this world would operate with harshness, with responsibility. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after creating man, he saw that this world cannot exist. Man is molei chet. A person will never pass the test, he'll never survive a day if Hashem only conducts this world with harshness. So Hashem brought in a partner. He also added to this world midah of racham. A That statement of Chazal is very powerful because that Chazal makes it very clear that the primary goal is din. The highest level is harshness. Rachamim is only here because we couldn't survive. But the ideal is din. Unfortunately, many people in this world think it's the opposite. Many people live in this world thinking that God, He's loving and forgiving, and just enjoy yourself and do whatever you want and just live a life of hefkeres. If you have the stamina and you have the discipline to be very precise and be very exact in your performance of mitzvahs, we'll give you shlishi on Shabbos. We'll elevate you. This person, he's a good guy. Look, he comes to davening on time every day. The default is, don't even come. You come late, talk. A person that comes and is willing to come early and to daven and do everything to dasuk, this person is deserving of special praise. This is corrupt. It's a corrupt way of thinking. And unfortunately, every person is like this. Every person thinks that the default is midas harachem. If a person can raise himself to some degree to be a little bit better, he's a special person. This is completely false. The ikar is din. The default is a person must be perfect. A person has to have shleimus. He's not allowed to slip in anything that he does. If it happens that a person falls and slips and he's not exact as he's supposed to be, then Hashem says, don't worry, I still love you. Yisrael shechata, afak shechata Yisrael. B'yoin b'roi Hashem Elokim Eretz v'shamayim. Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'yis ha-aretz. It was only later when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw the world cannot exist, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he went and he added as a backup the Midah of Rachem. Now, why is Elokim B'Lashon Rabbim? Elokim should be B'Lashon Yochid. And that's how the word appears over here. Eloka. I'm not pronouncing it the correct way because you know how to say Hashem's name, Levatol. Okay, so really the way you pronounce a hey with the dot at the end, with the patach, is an aleph. The correct way to say, to pronounce this word, anytime you have a hey at the end of the word, and with a patach, the way you're supposed to pronounce it is an aleph. And at the end of the aleph sound, you then add a hey. Ah. Ah. What is some govo? Ah. In the Megillah it says, prepare for Mordechai, eats a tree that is govo. Ah. Chamishim amo. That is 50 amos tall. How do you pronounce the word givo? Ah, so unfortunately, you're going to make a mistake, and they think you pronounce it gavoha. That is patently wrong. There's no such word gavoha. It's givo aleph sound. Givo ah aleph sound, and at the end of the aleph sound, you add a mapake. Givo ah. At the end, you inject a mapike, givo ah. Bet medrash, givo ah. Lakewood on the station, BMG. Okay, BMG. What's it called, the name of the car? BMW. There's a BMW and there's a BMG. If you go to BMG, you're looking for a shidduch, a BMW shidduch.
What's the yud?
The yud? There is no yud. What yud? There is no yud after the yud. Pasuk lamed beis. Pasuk lamed beis. Pasuk lamed.
What about the yud by the lamed?
Pasuk lamed. That's my. The yud connotes possessive. Possessive, my God. There's my God and there's your God. There's the way I relate to Hashem, the way you relate to Hashem. The Yud is possessive, my. It's my Hashem. Everyone has a personal, unique connection to Hashem. And then there is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the Eloka. I'm not saying it correctly because I don't want to say Hashem's name, Levatola. But even though really we can, or really we're allowed to, but it's like givo ah, bet medrash givo ah. You'll notice that on their stationery, when they transliterate base medrash, they do it. They transliterate it the wrong way. Okay, govo ha. They transliterate it best. I don't even beth medrash. Give ha. It's patently wrong. It's another thing. Milra.
So it has to be on the lamed, the
accent. Elo, elo.
Elo.
Ah. But the end is an aleph that gets this. It's a elo. Why is it on the lamed? Yes, on the lamed. It's on the lamed. Yeah. Okay, but at the end, the main mistake we make is really it's ma'ake is the end. Okay, give ah, it's elo. It's same thing when it comes to Hashem's name. And Beis Medrash in Lakewood, it's called Beis Medrash give ah. Why did it has it been transliterated the wrong? Why have they not corrected it in the over 50 years? You got to talk to them. That's not my department.
It's a market thing.
What? Yes, yes.
It's a market thing?
I believe so. Yes. Yes, by the Megill it is. In the Megill it is. In the Megill it's Gevoah. It's the same word. And over here, Hashem's name. You have to have at the end, it's like you have to emphasize the hey. Alright, any event, this is the singular of Elohim. Elohim is plural. Anytime you have a word with the Yud Mem at the end of the word, it is plural. Okay, there's eight. Eight is a piece of word. Eitzim. Eight sin is you take ayin sadi and you add a yud mem as a suffix that converts the word eight sin to many pieces of wood. The singular for God is elo ka. Okay, I'm being how do you say God in plural? Elo kim. Now, isn't that apikorsis? There's only one God. How can you go call God in plural? That's apikorsis. There's only one God. How what does that mean? Elohim. So there are many answers, but one answer, the most simplest answer, is this is a way of honor. That when you speak about something that is very, very great, you speak about a something that is single, an object, something that is one in the form of plural, in order to emphasize its value and its chashivus. So when you speak about Hashem, it's an expression. You don't call Hashem Eloka. You refer to Hashem as Elohim. It connotes power. It adds a dimension of power, greatness, grandeur, up and above the ordinary. So we Bereshis Bara Elohim. It's a tough question.
That's right. That's
it should say Bereshis Bara Eloka. Bara Eloka. Es HaShamayim V'Es HaAretz. Why does the Torah begin with Bereshis Bara Elohim? Apikorsim, they come along. Oh, you see, there are many gods, the pantheon. There's a god for love, a god for hate, a god for fire, a god for water, a god for cold, a god for hot. A god for Mark and a god for Planck. Okay, so there are. This is a problem. Now you'll say so, and you can't give me the answer. Hashem wanted to teach the world humility. That's a whole different part. Hashem said to the Malachim, "Nase, to teach me humility." The basic answer is when you take something that is single and you express it in the plural. You are injecting into this object power, honor, grandeur, because a rabbin, a tzibur, something that is more than one, automatically has strength and power. So when the Torah begins, the Torah wants to emphasize that there's nothing like Kadosh Baruch Hu. He is Elohim. Now in this pasuk, we refer to Hashem in the singular. And not only do we refer to Hashem in the singular, again, we have to remember that Elohim means Midas Hadin, the attribute of harshness. And also, let's also remember, the word Eloka also comes from the word Kel. El El is not a sacred word. The word El is power.
Right.
Power. And when you use the word Elokim, it means the most powerful one. The singular power. The singular power. And then we upgrade it to Elokim to give it another dimension. So the truth is, when you say Elokim, it's really three levels up. The starting word is El. Aleph Lamed. Aleph Lamed means Yesh L'El Yadi. There is power to I have power. Yes, there is to my hand power. This is what Lavan said to Yaakov. Yes, le'el yadi. I have in my hand power to do whatever I want. El. Now, when you want to refer to Hashem, a God that has power, so I don't know why, but you add a hey, and you pronounce it Eloka, God. God is the ultimate power. When you want to embellish that by giving Hashem even more power, the ultimate power, you transform that to Elokim. So the Torah begins, Bereshis Bara Elokim. We're in first grade here today, Baruch Hashem. Okay. Everyone here is only like 6 years old. You got a long way to go. Mark, 100 years to go, Mark. Lizeshnik was 106 years old, so 100 years to go. We're learning over here, Bereshis Bara Elokim. The word Elokim really is a third level word. Kel, from Kel goes to Elokah, to Elokah goes to Elokim. So here in this pasuk we're on level 2, Elokah, God, and it says, Ki mi Elokah mi baladei Hashem. This is an incredible pasuk. It then matches, who is like God besides Yudkei Vavkei? What does that mean exactly? Who is like Midas Hadin other than Midas Harachan? What does that mean exactly? Is there anyone like God other than Rachamim? What do you mean? Rachamim is not God. If you read this pasuk without knowing anything, it almost sounds like Apikorsis. That is a God. There are two gods. There's a God called Elokah, and there's a God called Yudkei Vavkei. And David is saying, Hashem, you know, you remind me of someone else. You remind me of another God. When I was young, I had a friend. When I was young, I had this God called Yudkei Vavkei. Knew what happened to him? Gone. He went away somewhere. Now, wow, look who I met. I met a new God called Elokah. You know, you're amazing. I don't remember in my life any other deity like you, except there was another God I had once upon a time in my life. Isn't that apikorsis? Isn't that the ultimate apikorsis? Ki mi Elokah mi baladei Hashem? It sounds like apikorsis, right? There are two different gods. But we know, b'yoyim b'roi Hashem Elokim eis eretz v'shamayim, that Yudkei Vavkei and Midas Hadin, there's only one Hashem. It's just a question of the way Hashem conducts himself with man. The relationship. Sometimes Hashem conducts him with Midas Hadin, sometimes with Sarachanim. And this is the way David is basically saying, we say every single day, twice a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, Rachamim, Elokeinu. Elokeinu is Din. Elokeinu means Elokah, our Elokeinu. Hashem. Okay, then again we say that again, Yud Rachamim, Echot. And what in essence we're saying is, even though in our lives and at times we are aware that Hashem sometimes is very strict, he relates to us and we perceive him as Din, and there are other times in our life we perceive Hashem that he's treating us with Rachamim, don't make a mistake and think there are two separate gods. There's a God of Din, there's a God of Rachamim. When things go your way, it's because the God of Yudkei Vavkei, he is in charge today. And when things are not going so well, then the God of Din, he is in charge today. And the God of Rachamim is on vacation. That's a horrible mistake. Hashem Echad. It's the same. Din and rachamim are two sides of the same coin. They're all integrated. There's only one Hashem. From Hashem comes forth din and rachamim synthesized together. And that's what David here is saying.
We see here two parts of this pasuk. Umitsu zulati elokeinu. Mi eloka ibaladei Hashem. Umitsu zulati elokeinu. Now, ibaladei and zulati is the same. And then Hashem and then Elokeinu. Hashem Elokeinu. Eloka is strength. Mi chazak and mi kumo umitsu. It's the same thing. It's a repetition of
Right, this poetic repetition, but
who has the power except Hashem?
Tzur is power. Tzur is a rock. So, right, I don't know. There are many ideas. In this one pasuk, Hashem's name appears four times. Four times. There's Elokah is Hashem's name. There is Yudke Vavke. Then there's Tzur. Tzur is another way we refer to Hashem. Hashem, Tzuri v'Goali. Hashem is my strength. Tzur is a rock, strength, it's another term. Then there is Elokeinu, which is the plural and then possessive. Our God, the God of Klal Yisrael. Tzur represents strength. It's very similar to Elokah. El, Yesh le'el yodi. El is power. Tzur, a rock, is something very powerful, very strong. Then Yudke Vavke is Rachamim. Elokeinu is din, but when you, I don't know.
It shows here that it's the same.
Yeah.
Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is Elokeinu. Gam Rachamim
and
Gam
Adin. Okay.
He is.
Let's look a little bit at the Malbum, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Well, Malbum will be one Malbum we'll go next. Kakel, Nivar, Ki Achar, Shederech Hakel, Vihi HaAnhoga Shaloi, Hu Tamim. Now that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tamim, is wholesome, V'chol Imras Elokah Shehu HaBuriya Shabara B'mamar Tzurufa Mikol Sik. He is saying an idea that is different than the typical way you would understand this pasuk. When you read these words, Imras Hashem Tzurufa, you would assume this means the words of Torah. The Torah is refined, it is perfect. It's not saying that. He's saying the word, the Imras Hashem refers to Ba'asara Ma'amorais Nivra Ha'ila. Hashem created the physical world with 10 Amiras. Science, nature, is tsurufa, is perfect. It's refined. This world, the scientific world, has an edelkeit, has a refinement, operates with perfection beyond comprehension. Okay, when you read this pasuk as Yeshua Bacha, Imras Hashem Tahira, you think, oh, the Torah, the words of Chazal, a Daf Gemara, a pasuk in Chumash. No, that's not what the Malam says. Don't get too yeshivish. Imras Hashem is Ba'asara Ma'amorois Nivra Ha'olam. We're discussing science. If you don't believe in me, then you're denying us, you don't believe in science. Science. Science is Tzurufa. It is refined. It is perfect. It is complete. There is no waste in science. He uses an incredible word, Shabara Bamamar Tzurufa Mikol Sig. The Ali De Zehu Magin U Mechasel L'chol Achesim Bo. And you know what that means? It means those that follow the rules of science are safe. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what he's saying over here? That if you stick to the rules of science, then it's what it says. The words of Hashem, Shuhu Abriya, Shabara Bamamra Tzurufa Mikol Sig. There's no imperfections in science. The Ali Dezer, you follow the rules of science, then you do what you're supposed to, you have a healthy diet, and you take care of your health, you're good to go. You can rely upon the rules of science to live a good, healthy, happy life. Now, obviously, that's only half of the equation. Okay? That's only half of the equation, but at least it's half of the equation. You can't expect to live in a world...
There's such a thing as natural law.
Natural law, okay.
Yeah.
the Yali Dezehu.
It's not only science, but it's also human beings. We live together in society.
Don't underestimate the laws of science. Unfortunately, we live in a yeshiva world. We have this tendency that ein mazali Yisrael, you can live a life that's irresponsible and unsustainable, and you'll survive. You know, is that a proper approach to life? Not have plans, goals, toward a pension, to know how things are all going to work out? Is that a proper mahalach in life? It says, that's what the Balbim seems to say. The Balbim says that people that take refuge in following a certain mahalach in life, the Ali Day Zehu Mogin Machas Lachon Bobeh Adavoki, Yoni Hashem Bolomo, Yisrohu Lonu Bishte Machazos. The way Hashem created this world appears in two different visions, or two, there are two different dimensions. Aleph, Hachukim, Hativ Iyim, nature. Asher Gavav Vachokak Be'ez HaBriya, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed, and he etched the laws of nature in the time of creation, Choyk Nosan V'lo Yavak. L'mashal, Sho'esh Tivar V'amayim Yerdu B'morot. There is fire burns. There is gravity, water descends. The Ashman Yidu Talam, and the heavens give dew. We are its Yivula. Period. Base. Hadvarim Asher Yaneg Lufi Maaseb Ne'odem Habechiriyim Im Toiv Yim Ra. Now he gets the second part. Now he comes to what?
Natural world governs not only nature, but now
man is supposed to. Oh, but that's religious. No, but let's see how he follows through. Now he's saying is a reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reward and punishment. Let's give him rat. Let's explain. If a person is good, if man is good to his fellow man is good to Hashem, then yisader es ha-hanhoga lehetiv lohem. Hashem will arrange matters to do good to man, ula ha-chayosam, and to provide sustenance. With es yoreyu ma'asim, and when man is evil, period. So we have here basically a contradiction. On the one hand, there are the laws of science. On the other hand, it's not just science. If man is evil, selfish, cruel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use science as a tool to destroy us. Nature. Okay. Nature will use nature against us. It's global warming. There'll be a flood. There'll be this. There is. It's a very delicate balance to live a life of nature, to follow the rules of nature, but to recognize that man's behavior controls nature. It's almost a contradiction. A human being is a contradiction. A guf and a neshama. There's the body, and in the body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a neshama. The neshama has nothing to do, nothing in common with the guf, nothing. Completely two different worlds. And it is it's a conflict. And that's why we say it's a wonder, mafli. It is a wonder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to synthesize the neshama with the guf. In the big picture of this world, it's the same thing. The world is a world of nature. It's a world of nature. And the world of nature, to the naked eye, operates by itself. There's nothing spiritual about nature. You know this guy Harari, this fellow advisor to Klaus Schwab, his favorite guy, whose famous words are, he'll go down in history for his famous words, man is a hackable animal, is an animal that is now, currently in this generation, hackable. You can hack into someone's computer system. We have the tools today to enter into the DNA of man. You can hack. You can hack a human being and you can change his DNA. And man's words are, man is a hackable animal. And he's right. He's right. He's right to a degree. Man, Moisar Adam, this guy is probably from the biggest apikorsim in the world today. It's written all over his face, this guy. His name is Harari. Sounds like a Jewish name, right? I don't think he's Jewish. I wonder if he's Jewish. Schwab is Jewish. I wonder if he's Jewish. These people control $12 trillion of wealth. That's a lot of money, Mark. $12 trillion of wealth in this world, more than most governments have. And he said, what he's saying is 100% true. Umoisar Adam min habehema ayin. The Farish, what he says is a pasuk. Man is an animal. And with technology today, we today have been blessed by Hashem to have incredible power over understanding over nature, or to manipulate nature. And if you believe that there's nothing in this world other than nature, then you know, that's where it all starts and ends. But the Malbim says there's another element that's not so obvious. And that is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's in charge. And he can use nature against us or for us. He can take this tool of nature. So this world, if you follow the laws of nature, everything is wonderful. But don't forget there's another dimension where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he conducts this world based upon Nida Keneged Nida. That's what it says in the Yud. Lufi Anir Leinei Basar Shnei Hachukim O'Elim Nivdolim Zemi Ze'u Duruchaykim Herchik Rav. From the perspective of a human being, these two approaches to this world have nothing to do with one another. The spiritual world is in Shemayim. The laws of nature are in this world, and there is no overlap. Just like but we do know there is an overlap, no different than the fact that we say Asher Yotzer every single day, and we conclude the words Rofei Chol Basar Umafli La'asos, and the Rama writes the first sin in Shulchan Aruch. What does it mean when you say the words Umafli La'asos? Hashem does wonders. The ultimate pell of this world is to synthesize the guf together with the neshama, and on the bigger picture, this whole world is Umafli La'asos, because there is the guf. The guf is the laws of nature, and yet the laws of nature, although to the naked eye they seem to operate independently, yet they're really operating. They're being guided based upon Nida Keneged Nida, based upon man's action. Man behaves himself, then Hashem arranges that the laws of nature, they work in our favor. It rains Friday night when you're not going outside. And everything just somehow, the laws of nature just somehow come to help you, to make life wonderful for you. And if Chas V'Shalom, a person is not doing Hashem's will, then the laws of nature can become violent. What do you want? It's natural there are hurricanes. It's natural there are tornadoes. It's natural there are floods. These are all natural phenomena. This is nature. Person gets all different types of situations. It's not obvious. And the Malbim says to the naked eye, the world of spirituality and the world of nature have absolutely nothing in common with one another. But if you are a maimon, well, you see...
Because one is fixed and the other is variable.
Well, so what do you mean?
No, but the laws of nature...
Are fixed.
One, they are immutable, right? Horatio says they are immutable. And then comes the way in which Hashem is reacts to us and our choices accordingly, and he can change the dynamics of nature.
Right. They're synthesized.
So they're at once, they're fixed, and at the same time, variable to an extent.
So let's go further. So Fiyan Nira, okay, we've got three lines in the bottom of this paragraph, three, four lines in the bottom of the paragraph. Fiyan Nira, le'eni basar shnechuk mo'ele, nivdolim zemizeh, u'rechoykim herichik raf. What connection is there to when it rains, to man's behavior? Whether man serves Hashem or he rebels against Hashem. Or it's an earthquake, arbor, locust, shidafoin, strong winds, v'chadoyma. In pu'ulos bali ha'bechira, what are these things, what does nature have to do with man's behavior? Nature is nature. it's what you make out of it. Because it appears to be two different worlds, people make a mistake. She'ein ma'aseh v'das v'cheshboin, that there's no din v'no cheshbon, do whatever you want in this world, it doesn't really make a difference. Ki eich tishtaneh ha'teva al yidei ma'aseh me'odam, avol acha she'nosim alev kichugi ha'teva chem aruchim me'is Hashem. After a person is willing to come to terms, willing to acknowledge that the two are intertwined, the gam ha'anhoga ha'bechiris, and a person's decisions in life, everything is, whatever person whatever he does, will automatically Hashem will respond in kind. Without question, Hashem has tied, intertwined these two things, hanhagos, b'chavolim dakim ruchoniyim, ad sheyispalu zemizah. Hashem has intertwined with cords. They're very, very thin, invisible cords that connect and align our behavior, our service of Hashem with nature. And our behavior has a direct impact on nature. Actually, yispalu zemizeh, they are affected one by the other. The moshku zemizeh, the chukei hateva hem tulim b'dimshochem v'yishtanu, and the laws of nature are dependent, and they change. Litoiv olera lefisha yishanu b'nei adam es masim, depending upon how a person behaves. Uvezeh yesh tekva shehatzadik yin yishma mikol rosa tiviyos. Thus, a tzadik, a good person, has shmira, because his deeds are good in the eyes of Hashem, nature will work in his favor. Ki ateva tikona tachtov, nature will be humble before him. Lefi maseyu, v'zesh amar achashu akel tamim darkoi, this is what the pasuk means, Hashem's ways are complete. Shu derech ha-hanoga ha-bechiriyis ha-tmi lefi mas b'nei adam ho-efshar riyim. Hashem's, the hanoga ha-bechiriyis, it means, I think hanoga ha-bechiriyis, I think he means over here, I mean, he has to say that, I think Hashem's nature, I think he means that nature is dependent upon man's behavior. Shadrochav Hema Chesed Virachvim Vachanim Hashem's ways, which is Chesed Vnatan natures. Chesed Virachvim Vachanina, Latoyim to be kind, Vidin and Mishmad Lushan, Virachazet Hamim Ein Boy Chisaron, Ein Chukiateva Oitzim Badon, Ki Kol Imras Hashem, Sirufa Shem Hamamorim, Shabom Goza, She Yishaveh Ha'ilam, Vigavachuki Ha'ilam Alteva, Him Sirufa Mikhosig, Achloye. Stira b'neihem u'bein anchogah habachiris mitzatzehu mogin l'chulachasim bo ki chuki hateva nevduchem elachaisim b'ashem b'farashim. Okay, so basically, I know I read the last five verses, but over here, this is a really a fascinating. Try to read this Malbim to a summit, in the world stage, Gesundheit of global warming. Try to read this global warming to talk about. Talk about this concept. I mean, I really don't know. You know, global warming today is the thing. At kidei kach, and this is just hilarious. They were making it honest. The Atlantic. What kind of newspaper is the Atlantic?
What
kind of newspaper is the Atlantic?
I said that the Atlantic, that it's so far left it should be named the Pacific.
That is brilliant. Isn't that good what you just said?
That is so clever.
Okay. So there is it a paper? Is it on physical paper?
It's a magazine?
The Atlantic? So the Atlantic, it's in the news. Go read the news, go look up, don't believe me. Putin is threatening a nuclear war. If you don't leave me alone, you don't let me do what I want to go do, you know, I could just press some buttons and we'll launch some nuclear missiles and we'll nuke the world. So the Atlantic's headline is that the war has escalated to a new dangerous degree. There's prospects of nuclear war. That's terrible. You know why it's terrible? Because it's not good for the climate.
Well, that's terrible.
It's not good for the climate. If Russia will launch nuclear missiles, what's going to do with the climate? That's the problem? That's what you're worried about? You're worried about the climate. What's going to do with the climate? What about the people? What about being vaporized? What about radiation? What about people suffering all over the world? No, that's not important. What's important is that if there's nuclear war, the climate. And then I think the Bible survived this.
Rabbi, there's a movie called Don't Look Up. It's on Netflix. It's an Academy Award nomination. Satire. And a comet is coming at Earth and it's going to crash the Earth. And they asked the president about it. He says, is this going to happen before the midterm elections or after the midterm?
Okay.
Yeah. Famous New York Times headline, world ends, women and minorities most affected.
It's not true.
It's not true, but it's been said many times.
So this Malbum is really something they should read. They should read this Malbum, the Triplets Malbum. Global warming. It's Teva. And the only element that is a tool to deal with global warming is carbon emissions. That's it. There's no such thing as let's daven, let's be mispala, let's do teshuva, ma'asim tovim. This Malbim is saying that there is a correlation. If it's really true that the world is coming to an end because of teva, nature, and the Malbim is telling us that nature, to some degree, is a reflection. The laws of nature are a reflection of man's behavior.
Behavior of choices,
of morals, decency. Torah, you want to talk about an Orthodox Jew, of Torah, Teshuvah, Maisim, Torah. But talk about the Goyim. The Goyim talk about just morals, basic morals of life. The Malbim is saying they're not two separate things. The laws of nature and a person's individual choices are interrelated. It doesn't seem like that. It seems science is science. There are fixed, strict rules in science. And you could be whatever, with anything. You can live any kind of life that you want. This Malbim is a masterpiece. How he eloquently is describing that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the laws of nature, no one's denying that the science. The science is the science. But in the science, there is room in the science for things to take on different paths.
So maybe that's what Carrie meant. If we don't react normally, and we don't go to war, and we behave properly, we won't affect the global warming.
Serious discussion, Carrie.
The people that are involved in global in this global warming religion are I think it's very well established. You look at their slate of their agenda. They're from the biggest apikorsim the world has ever seen. From the biggest apikorsim, the people that have on their agenda global warming. Okay, global warming.
It's a worship of nature.
So you'll say it's science. All right, I'm all for science. Everyone is for science. Okay. But when you then look, how do they believe in all of the of morals in other matters, and there's absolutely no mocking for God. God has to be purged. It's not a coincidence that the Democratic Party, when Biden ran for election for the first time in their platform, the word God was purged from their mission statement. And at the same time, the President of the United States, the leader of the party, said that the greatest threat to this world today is global warming. It's not a coincidence that there was never a leader in world history that would get up on a world stage and make a declaration, the greatest threat to civilization is global warming. It's not a coincidence that the same leader has purged God from the mission statement of his party.
You know what the origin of the Green Movement was? The Green parties in Europe were originally the Communist Party, but they needed something that they could grab people with, So they changed from red to green. And eventually, they brought it over here. Dennis Prager called it paganism.
On Sukkot, I was in the Sukkot, there were two Talmidei Chachamim, and they were wearing blue ties. And the Sukkot was draped with these beautiful green curtains. So I said to them as a joke, are the two Rosh Yeshiva making a political statement with the color of both of your ties? So they said, no, the only political statement we have made is by decorating the Sukkot with green. With green curtains. There's a lot of humor in that. All right. In any event, this is a masterpiece. This Malbum is saying over here, Hakel Tam Darko. We translate these words and we'll go further. Hakel, the way the Malbum learns the words of the Pasuk Lam Nalf. Hakel Hashem Tamim Darko. Hashem, this means, according to him, he directs nature. He directs nature within the framework of Imras Hashem Tzurufa. Imras Hashem Tzurufa is a term that defines science. You basically take the entire thing, Imras Hashem Tzurufa, and substitute that with nature, or science. The laws of science, the laws of nature. The laws of science and the laws of nature have variables. Although it seems that it's fixed. Laws of science means it's predictable. Isn't that one of the main definitions of science? It's predictable. If you know the science, you know the future. You have the data. It's predictable. The Malbim is saying, "Oh, you're sorry, it's not." The laws of science are perfect, have rules, and the rules are predictable. But the outcome of science, although the laws of science are perfect, have room. There is room for a very different outcome. Just because the laws of science are perfect, it's going to rain, right? It's going to rain. There's precipitation. There is the sun. There's heat. The water evaporates. It goes into the clouds. So why is it that sometimes the water comes down on this field, and sometimes the water comes down on that field? Why sometimes is there a hurricane? Why sometimes is there a tornado? Science. It's science. The sun is shining. There are rules. Don't you think by now we should figure this out already? How come when there's a hurricane, they show you the path of the hurricane? So what they do, they take a model. They think, look, for the last 100 years, every single time there was a hurricane that came from the Caribbean, and it came up the East Coast, and they show you, they take all of the models from the last 100 years and all the possible way, all the, from history, how it, the trajectory of where it's going to go. And based upon the models of the last 100 years, we fed all of this information into the computer. It's going to come right up the East Coast, right up to the city and wipe us all out. And then guess what happens?
They still get it wrong.
And this, why? Because we don't have enough data. We don't have enough data. Because if we had 200 years of data,
no,
then we would get it right.
No, it has to do with variables.
Right. We don't have enough variables. Right. That's exactly what you just said. Right. Because we only have 100 years of data. If we had 500 years of data, then we would get it right. No, because then we have. Because then we would close all the variables.
A wind can shift. That's based on different things.
It's only because we don't have enough variables. There are still too many variables out there that we have not yet defined. So if we had 500 years of data, 1,000 years of data, then we can predict with ultimate precision which way the hurricane is going to go. That's what they tell us. Isn't that what they tell us? Along the Malbim says, no, they're dead wrong. The Malbim is coming to argue, take on the Weather Channel, take on AccuWeather, the Weather Channel, all of these wrong. Science is science. No one is coming to deny, to question the laws of science and nature. No one's a fool. It's so foolish to say, people, you don't believe in the science. Of course you believe in the science. What kind of foolish statement is that to go tell people, no, you don't believe in the science? Of course you believe in the science. Just because you believe in the science, the outcome of science, it's not etched in stone. That's what the Malbim is saying.
There's a term for that. It's called scientism.
What does that mean?
It's the worship of science.
The worship of science. Everyone believes in science. You got to be a fool not to believe in science.
By human beings.
But just because there's science, the Malbim is saying, sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there's a drought, sometimes not. But what do you mean? Why is it predictable? It's not always. It's Hashem is still calling the shots. Hashem is still guiding the results of science. That's the problem. They don't believe in it. That's a lashon. The atzar es Hashem lo yamatar. It's not only when it comes to rain. It comes to everything. It comes to illnesses. A person can be sick. Two people, they have the same, everything is the same. Why does this person live and this person dies? Science is science. If you get the disease, you die. Why does he live? Why does he die? Obviously, this is something which scientists will never agree. And the Malbim is saying, the Malbim is taking them on. The Malbim is taking them on. Whenever a scientist will say, why did he live and he die? There's always a reason. Because the DNA, because he has the different DNA and this condition and that condition, there's always more variables that have not been accounted for. And if we were able to account for every single variable, then we would have it down even more perfect. The Malbim is coming to say you're wrong. There's science, but in science, Hashem is still able to adjust. There is room for there to be different results. And it's not obvious to a human being that that is correct. And it's very difficult to be willing to accept that science, there is an element in science that is dependent on Hashem, how Hashem wants the result, and the way Hashem wants the result to come through is in our hands. It's the way it's going to be neither kineged neither. If we're good people to each other, to Hashem, then Hashem will allow that element in science to achieve a result that will be to our ultimate benefit. This is a very incredible theory. To take this Malbim word for word, and really, as I'm saying, and you take this to a Harvard Medical School, to take this to MIT, take this to the NIH, they'll laugh at this. They'll mamash laugh this out. They'll say this thing doesn't make any sense. It's totally not true. Anytime there's a result that doesn't, the reason why it rains today and doesn't rain yesterday, it's because we do not yet have our grasp on every single variable. And if we could only attain knowledge of every variable and master it, then we can predict with the ultimate precision what's going to be. And we can protect ourselves, and we can basically hack the universe to achieve our desired result. That's how scientists today look at this world. And the Malbim says, there's another element in science that's not in your hands. That's in Hashem's hands. And that's called Tamim Darkoi. Even though Imras Hashem Tzeruf, you have to read it backwards. Even though the laws of science, no one's challenging the laws of science. Everyone agrees the Imras Hashem Tzurufa Ba'asara Ma'amoros Nivra Ha'olam that science is perfect. No one's challenging that. Yet you have to also acknowledge there's a dimension, an element of Hakel Tamim Darko. He still arranges the results of how things will work their way out based upon neither connected neither. And if we are good people, then we're okay. Mogein hu l'chol ha'choysim boy. Hashem will protect us. Hashem will protect us. Very powerful stuff. It's a whole new dimension of looking at these things. All right, let's just maybe learn, go to the next passage from the Lord's drop. Pasuk Lamed, go page 156. On page 156, Akel Hame Azreni Choyel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he girds me in oizer, like a belt with strength, Vayitein tamim darki, and Hashem he makes my way, my way. He guides my way with wholesomeness. We have to see what this means in more detail. Mishaver raglai ko ayolah. So the Shbarku, he makes my steps straight. Ko ayolos, like an ayol. The al bomosai yamden, and Hashem puts me on a platform. Malamed yodai la milchama, Kadosh Baruch Hu trains my hands for war. V'nichatot keshes nechusha zero osoy, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu he bends, he allows my arm to bend a powerful bow of copper. V'atitin li magen yeshecha, you grant me your salvation. V'mincha tisadini, your right hand supports me. V'an vasecha tarbeni, and your humility makes me great. A lot going on here in the circuit. Look at the Mitzvahs, just start the Mitzvahs a little bit. Look at the Mitzvahs, Devon Apostle, Apostle, Lamed, on page 157. Ah, Tamim Darki, Darki, Choye Tamim Misholem. Poloi Nifgad Ish Me Anoshai Ba Milchama. The Mitzvahs, Devon, takes a very simple translation of this Apostle. He says that there's not one person that was lost in battle. When David went out to war, David came home with all of his men. Okay, one more time. Darki my way, chayotamim v'shalem. What does that mean? V'lo nifkat ish. No one was missing. As we learned last week in the Megillah, it said the Rambam. I don't know how the Rambam says this, because I don't think it says it in the Megillah. It says in the Megillah that when the Bnei Yisrael, they went to fight against, what? It does not say if there are any casualties. It's amazing. It does not say that. That itself is an amazing statement. Why does it not say? The Rambam writes, the loy nifkad ish. How did the Rambam know that in the Melchama of Bnei Yisrael there was a gezerah to destroy every single living Jew in this world? How is it possible that not even one Jew? What? No, Purim also. Both. Purim was there was a permission given for the entire world to kill every single Jew, and it says that the Jews wiped out 5,070. Member people of enemies. 5,070 were killed. And in Shushan, 500, exactly 500, interesting number, round number, are you talking? Exactly, a perfectly round number, 500 people were killed in Shushan. And then when they killed, a second day, they killed another 300 people. Bidiyuk. And were there any casualties on our side? Did anyone faint? Yesterday was to make a holiday. Today, a miracle yesterday, that according to the Magen David Adom, there were no serious casualties of the Leviathan.
Putin was in charge of media.
What?
Putin was in charge of media. He didn't report any casualties, Putin.
It's a miracle. There was a pachat pachadim. There was going to be a Leviathan. They were afraid. Who knows what it would be? There's a dangerous, a very, very dangerous. Everyone knows Eretz Yisrael. The streets. They don't know how many traps there are in all of these. In what people? I don't understand. I don't live there. I don't live. We don't live there. But the culture there, the people who live there, their mamish. It's like the kuach nefesh. They have to come and touch the aron. I don't get it. But for these young people, it's like their world. Their world to me, I don't get it. But listen, you know, I don't live there. This is their life. And it's a pachat pechadim. And you got to give the police high praise. High praise. And you give the Ribbono Shel, of course, the ultimate praise. Baruch Hashem, they reported that no one was seriously hurt. It's a miracle. It's a big miracle. Nothing to, you know. And so in the time of Purim, when there's a world war, every single Jew, not even one person was killed. And there, how do you know this? I don't know. It doesn't say in the Megillah. The Rambam says, the Rambam Hilchos Purim, V'loy Nifgad Ish. Not even one person died in this day on Yud Gimel. Unbelievable. By the way, there was a casualty, not in the war that happened a year later, but Daniel Ish Chamudas, according to one opinion, was murdered. He was murdered not during the war. He was murdered during the Purim story. When during those 5 days when Esther and Mordechai were communicating and they were sending messages via Daniel, he was delivering messages back and forth. So it says in the Chazal that it says in the Medrash, Haman saw Daniel delivering a message between Mordechai and Esther. He just killed him on the spot. He killed him, he murdered him. Daniel, you know who Daniel was? Daniel Ish Chamudois, the person who interpreted the handwriting on the wall for Belshazzar, and said, it says that your time is up. He wrote much of what he wrote, we said today. A lot of what we said today, in Tachnun today, is the Nusuk of Daniel. Daniel Ish Chamudois. It was enormous, enormous collateral damage in the Yom Kippur. So the Mitzvah over here says something that is
incredibly. Says he was greater than many Nevi'im, even though he wasn't officially a Nevi.
Chacham all the Nevi. Tamim darki chayy tamim. My way was tamim v'sholem, v'loy nifkat ish me'anoshai b'milchama. That is the way the Mitzvah started from Shem the pasuk. I guess it's Hashem. Okay. I guess he's doing that. The reason why he's saying that interpretation, because it follows from the word hame'azreini choyil. Choyil means a soldier, a chayil. You gird, and it means strength. But this word, it's seemingly that because it's juxtaposed to the word vayitein tamim darki, he's saying a very novel interpretation, is that when we went to war, you girded me with strength when we went to war, and vayitein tamim darki, and we came home complete. Not even one soldier was injured. Talk about Entebbe. Entebbe, you know, it was before my time. But when I was a little kid, you know, we had all these movies and songs and this and that. And then you look back at it and you study it later, it was very tragic. Okay, Netanyahu's brother, Yoni Netanyahu. Horrible. And then there was also a young boy that was killed by the Israelis because he jumped up, so they shot him.
And
there was a woman. She went to the hospital before, and when they pulled off this thing, so they went. They just murdered her in the hospital. They killed her in the hospital. They didn't, I don't even recover the body. I don't think the body was ever found. I'm not sure. It's glorified. It's glorified as being, you know, in the most daring, amazing mission that Israelis ever pulled off. But, you know, people lost their lives. And a lot of trauma also. People, the trauma people suffer from that. You know, I know someone, I want to say who, but I know, not this story, but Rav Chutner, the hijacking, one of the famous hijackers. There were three hijackers.
That's a different story.
Besides Entebbe, during that time when Afun was there were three hijackings. So I know one of the hijackings, there was a woman, a middle-aged woman, a little bit past middle age, and I know the family, and they told me that she died from that. The trauma that she experienced during the hijacking with her footnote was too much for her. And when she came home, she never could recover from that, the trauma, and her health steadily declined, and shortly thereafter she died. Now it's not in the news, right? It was a great, you know, a miracle. Yeah, it was a miracle for some people. Other people, the trauma was too much to bear. So here he writes, Hakel Hame as Reini HaKadosh Baruch Hu girds me with strength, and there were no casualties. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, let's do the Mitzvahs first, okay? Next word, Meshaveh. Meshaveh, Som Raglai Kalois Larutz. The word Meshaveh means to make straight. Meshaveh, if you look over here, means to set. Look at the Mitzvah Siyoin. Meshaveh Meisim. Kimo Shivisi Adboiker, to set. Shivisi Hashem Linegdi Sami. I set Hashem before me continuously. Is to set. Mishaveh som raglai kalois lorutz maher HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sent my feet to run quickly. Acher oyev ka'ayolah, and ayolah is the fastest animal. Naftali ayolah shelucha, when they came to bury Yaakov Avinu, Esav held up the show. Why did he hold up the show? Where's the deed? I'm the Bechor. Where's the deed? You're not going to bury Yaakov. So they said, you sold the Bechora. Get out of here. You sold the firstborn right. This is not your cavern. This is my grave. You're not burying my brother in my grave. There's only enough space here for a few people. You're not going here. You're a liar. You sold the grave for Nezid Ad Hashem. No, I didn't. Prove it. We'll get the, where's the deed? Show it to me. We don't have it. We didn't expect this. Go get it. Get it to go back to Egypt? It'll take a week. So who do they send? Naphtali. Why Naphtali? Because Naphtali Ayala Shalucha. He traveled lightning speed, faster than a speeding bullet. He was able to travel very, very swiftly. So Ayala is the swiftest. That's why it's over here that Raglai Ko Ayala means swiftness. Who else is called an Ayol? There's an Ayil and an Ayol. What's an Ayil? Ayil is a Chaya. Is a Chaya. An Ayol is a Behemoth. There is there's two, it's a very, very strange concept in Chazal that you can have two different creatures, completely different species, and yet they have exactly the same letters, and the only difference between the two is the pronunciation. An ayol is a chaya, a wild animal. An ayil is a ram. It's a domesticated animal. And they're completely different. After the Akedah, Vayisina Vayarvi, Hine Ayil. An Ayil. Ayil, not an Ayil, an Ayil. So over here it's very swift. This is Parashur. Come on. Ayol Sivyachma Shmini, the animals. So we have Meshav, Raglav, Meshach, Ravga, Kayil, Hadaz, Azok, Halber, Rutsa, the album Messiah, and Madatani, Al Gavhi, Ugidulasi. You raise me upon a platform. La Mulchama, Lodas, Tachsisi, Al Mulchama Hashem. You taught me the Tachsisi, the art of warfare. The Ni Chasa, and this is very interesting, Nosat, the Koyach, the Shaber, Keshes, Nehusha. Now he learns the passage over here is to break. He learns here the word Malamiyah Muhammad Vinichasa Nichasa Keshes Nichusha Zero Asai. Who is operating the Keshes Nichusha? Lefi the parish of the Mitsudos, the Keshes Nichusha is the enemy. The enemy has weapons of mass destruction, hypersonic missiles, vaporize the target. It's very frightening. You see the latest thing that the Russians did? They showed the video. They have these new weapons, these hypersonic, they vaporize. It's unreal. It's very, very frightening. Yes, really frightening. That's another one. That's a different one. It's another weapon. We've already seen two new weapons being used in this war we never saw before. The vacuum bomb and this hypersonic, I don't even know what they call this new. It was yesterday, 2 days ago. Two new weapons that we never ever used before in this world were used by the Russians against the Ukrainians. And you can't say this was staged by the Americans or by the Ukrainians, because the Ukrainians don't have these weapons.
No, but it was for our benefit, obviously. They're testing them out. This is the way
they're showing. It's a warning to us.
To the Americans, right? They can't go say, oh, this was staged by the Ukrainians to propagate. The Ukrainians don't have these weapons. They don't own these ton of weapons. This is serious stuff. So now, it says here the word keshes nechusha. Kesh nechusha means a bow that's made from copper. According to the Mitsudos, it means these are the weapons of the enemy. Who is the subject? Who owns these weapons? You can learn the passage two ways. We'll see it another time. But right now, the Mitzvah Stavit says that the owners, the operators of the Keshes Nechusha are David's enemies. David is facing an enemy that has weapons that he cannot stand up against. These weapons are beyond his power. They're called the Keshes, a bow and arrow. That's Nechusha, copper, which has a connotation unbelievable. They're beyond belief. They're extremely powerful and mighty, and no nation can overcome these weapons. Yet, David says, V'nichata, you broke. Hashem, you gave me the power to overcome, to smash, to crush the weapons of mass destruction that were owned and operated by my enemy with my bare arms. Zero osar. My own arms were able to take their weapons that al-derech ha-teva are impossible to overcome, and I was able to nichata, to break. That's how we learn. It's a very important interpretation of the Mitzvah Stavit. Nasata bikoyach l'shaber, to break, to destroy the keshas nechusha of my enemy with my own bare hands. A miracle. A miracle. Giborim biyad chaloshim, v'rabim biyad ma'atim. How come they don't say in the Al Hanisim that we're able to overcome their weapons? Okay, it says we're able to over more mighty people. But over here, you're referring to weapons. The anvascha tarbeni, goydel ho anova shebucha, your humility, la hashkiach bi, to oversee, to provide providence. For me, also osik yil ho yisi am rav l'natzeach es oyev im ki anoshai hoyu misei misudah. This needs to be understood. David is saying over here that Hashem, due to your humility, your incredible humility, you allowed me to appear in the eyes of the world, in the nation, as if I'm a mighty nation, even though the truth is I'm a nothing. I'm just a few people. I'm on the same spark. The Israelis, all the wars were able to overcome enemies that were far, far superior, outnumbered. They were able to overcome that a few, and all of this is only because of the kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. And for some reason, which I don't know why, he's connecting this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us, who's weaker and feeble and small, to have the power of a mighty nation, is due to Hashem's humility. It's a concept of Hashem's, your humility allowed us, Tarbein, to appear to be mighty and powerful. Okay, we can stop and we take a short break. What I want to do afterwards, I want to talk about Rav Chaim Kinievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I want to tell you a story from the Torah of last week's Parsha, Parshas Tzav, and tie that in to some of the highlights of the Levaya and some things that I prepared in honor of the Tzar HaTorah, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, of Chaim Kinievsky.